reading the Shema Parata, 8th chapter, chapter 9, text 25. Describing the Lord's incarnation as holy worship. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. Purport. When the Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. Om Anjana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Krishna is known as Chakradhari. Chakradhari means he wields a disc. And here, we're hearing about the disc functioning as a weapon. But Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra has many, many functions. Firstly, in the spiritual world, Sudarshan is personified. He's a devotee. He's one of the Lord's personal associates. He's a Parishad. And if you look throughout the Bhagavatam, you'll find all different kinds of glories mentioned about the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. The Sudarshan Chakra represents the time factor, the wheel of time. Everyone is being moved by the wheel of time. Time is taking away everyone's life. The time factor is cutting down everyone's life, just like the chakra cut off the head of this Rahu, or like Shishupal. He also lost his head in Hastinapur. And it's described such a wonderful job he did. Just like here, Prabhupada uses the phrase in the purport. It's a wonderful description, the miraculous power of ambrosia. So when Krishna used the same chakra to cut off the head of someone else in Hastinapur, at Shishupal, it's described how wonderfully, another wonderful act. Shishupal insulted Krishna 99 times. Then Krishna took his chakra and he threw it and he cut off Shishupal's head. But he cut it in such a perfect way that not only did he cut his head, but he also tied up all the arteries and veins simultaneously. So when the head flew out, he cut his head off and the head flew out of the assembly because it was a Rajasuya Yajna. So if you drop blood in a Yajna Shala, that Yajna Shala becomes ashud, or contaminated. And you cannot perform the Yajna without proper purification. So much, you have to do the whole thing again. Reestablish the Yajna arena. So Krishna cut off the head of Shishupal here in Delhi and sent it out the window. And the head went out the window and not a drop of blood fell from his head. No jugular vein was cut. Usually that so much blood will come out when you cut the head, like a syringe. So it's described by Vishnu Chakravarti in the Bhagavatam. Such a perfect job. So this is another wonderful act. So we wrote a prayer to Nrisimhadev in Mayapur to describe the different weapons he's holding in his eight hands. Of course, two of them are simply his fingernails. But in the prayer, we describe the actual Siddhanta, or the position of the chakra of Krishna, Chakradhari, Chakrena. This verse says Chakrena Dhara, Chakradhara. It means one who holds the chakra. It's Vasudeva Krishna, the forearm form of Krishna. So we'll read briefly, and you can get some idea of how many different aspects and different features the chakra, how it acts in so many different ways and represents different things. Because the Lord's Parishads, their bodies are made of Chit Shakti, completely spiritual energy. So they can transform themselves into any form they want to. When you worship Lord Jagannath, you have one deity there. That deity is the Sudarshan Chakra. It represents the Sudarshan Chakra, who is the personal assistant and attendant of the Lord. He's always standing by the Lord, waiting to carry out a mission and take any form required to carry out the mission. So we'll hear it briefly. Oh, Sudarshan Chakra, you are the chief of the Lord's emblems. Gada, Chakra, Padma, like that. You are the auspicious glance by which he created the entire material world. It's described in Mahavishnu when he glances at Pradhan. The glance of the Lord is also called Sudarshan Chakra. It is also the Sudarshan. It is his glance. His glance by which Mahavishnu impregnates the living entities into the material world is also called the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. You are the symbol of power by which Nisringadev controls the whole cosmic manifestation. Without your universe, without your mercy, the universe cannot be maintained. Oh, Hari Chakra, you are the Lord's final and ultimate weapon to kill the demons, and you kill the prowess of other weapons. Oh, Sudarshan, you are the Kala Chakra, the invincible wheel of time, impossible to check. You expand from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death. You have 1,000 spokes of dazzling splendor. You are always revolving and spending the life of all living entities from Brahma to the ant. You act as the supreme time to control all activities, kill the demons, and protect the devotees. During the Govardhan Leela in Vrindavan, Indradev was inundating the land of Vrindavan with tremendous thunderstorm. Unlimited amounts of rain were falling, and everything was flooding. The water was rising and rising everywhere around Govardhan, and threatening to come inside, because underneath Govardhan there was a beautiful valley, Govardhan Valley. And in that valley there were beautiful palaces, and there were lakes and rivers, and all beautiful arrangements for all the Brijvasis to live underneath Govardhan. The whole city was created there by Krishna. So that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai and all Rohini Ma and Balaram and all the gopas and sukkas and cows, they would feel very much at home during that 7-day vacation. They took a 7-day vacation and they went to Govardhan Valley, Govardhan Farms, special resort area. Special resort area was established under Govardhan Hill, and they enjoyed very wonderfully there in the association of Krishna. And all the residents of Vrindavan, irregardless of their particular bhav, they got to relish the non-stop Astakali Leela of Krishna. So those in Vatsalya bhav, they were relishing Sambhog Leela for 24 hours of the day. Those in Sakya bhav, there was no crying, there was no anxiety, there was no separation from the Lord for 7 days. So the inner desire of the devotees in Dasya Ras and Sakya Ras and Vatsalya Ras was completely fulfilled during that 7-day vacation in Govardhan Valley. But when the water was rising on the sides, it was threatening to come inside underneath the Govardhan and flood everyone. And flood the vacation village. Jai ho, Radha Partha Sarta ki jai. So Krishna, having everything within him, he simply by his mind, in his mind he called Sudarshan. Because Krishna is Subhavaki Gyanam Bala Kriya Cha. Subhavaki Gyanam Bala Kriya Cha. He has Icha Shakti. Icha Shakti means, as he wills, so it happens. We say, just by willing, it's called Icha Shakti, the willpower, the willing Shakti. Krishna wants something, he thinks something, immediately it happens. We think something, and we think, and we think, and we think 1,001 times, and then we plan, and then we design, and then we work, and then we connive and meet, and this and that, and so much work we have to do, because we are controlled by vidya and karma. But Krishna, he is not controlled by ignorance and work. He simply desires and it is done. So be it. So he thought, oh, Sudarshan, where you should come. So immediately Sudarshan came, and he appeared above Govardhan, and he started whirling around like 1,000 bright suns. Because of course, when there's a monsoon, if you've ever experienced a heavy monsoon, so many clouds will come in the middle of the day, and you think, oh, what happened? Where'd the sun go? It's becoming very dark. Oh, it's getting darker and darker. Someone's just closing the lights. It's just taking away, dimming the sun. It's as if the sun has a dimmer switch on it. It becomes very dim because the heavy clouds come in and they cover the sun. A heavy rainstorm, big blue clouds. Ganasham, Sham Meg. So this is what happened when Indradev sent his Samvartika Meg, his Samvartika clouds. It became completely dark in Vrindavan. Completely dark. It was black, pitch black. These heavy clouds. You could not see light anywhere in Vrindavan. And his rain is coming and just flooding everything. So when Sudarshan came, Sudarshan illuminated the whole area like 1,000 suns. And 1,000 suns are very hot. Very, very hot. So by the heat of that sun, all the floodwaters were immediately evaporated into steam. They were turned into steam and driven away. So this is another function. Sudarshan protects the devotees. At the same time, he annihilates the demons. O Sudarshan, you are the most powerful sun, and you are the moon. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You are the Tejas Tattva, the topmost principle of brilliance. And you destroy the darkness within a devotee's heart. So Sudarshan also acts as light. Here it acts as a razor-sharp weapon to cut off the heads of demons, but it also acts as pure light, as a Tejas Tattva, to illuminate the heart of the devotee with brilliant transcendental knowledge. It's called illumination, enlightenment. We say when one realizes God or realizes his spiritual identity, it's called enlightenment, to be enlightened or realized. So this means that the Sudarshan of the Lord is shining within one's heart. In that case, it means the Sudarshan, the glance of the Lord, because the glance of the Lord represents the sun and the moon. One eye is the sun, one eye is the moon. But actually it represents the Tejas Tattva, the power, the brilliant truth. The absolute truth is brilliant. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakara. Maya is darkness, illusion. But Krishna's knowledge is like the bright sun. So it's considered that Krishna's Sudarshan is shining in the heart of a devotee who is illuminated and purified by transcendental knowledge. So we're saying, O Sudarshan, kindly shine in my heart and destroy the darkness of ignorance. O Sudarshan, by your effulgence, the darkness of the world is dissipated. You manifest the knowledge of great souls. Please manifest pure knowledge of Krishna within my heart and destroy the darkness of illusion covering my real identity. You are as quick as the mind. You are the master of speech. You work wonders. You are truth and encouraging statements. O Hari Chakra, whenever the tendency to speak nonsense or belittle the devotees or to speak negative, discouraging words even arises within my mind, please be there at that moment with your lightning speed to work wonders. Make me always speak the truth about Krishna. Glorify and encourage all the devotees. O Sudarshan, you are the killer of irreligious activity. You are the protector of Dharma and the means of establishing religious principles. You manifest the prowess and strength of devotional service. O Sudarshan, I am full of improper behavior and desires to perform whimsical, unregulated acts. I have no cleanliness, nor do I know what to do or what not to do. Please manifest the power within me, O Sudarshan, so I can strictly follow the example of the previous acharyas. Please give me the determination to always act purely and religiously and to perform only activities favorable to Krishna's service. O Sudarshan, you easily dispense the magical forces of the demons. Sometimes when the demons attack Krishna, they use illusion and magical forces. So then Krishna throws a Sudarshan and that dispels. All of these descriptions of Sudarshan are from Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no speculation here. Every sentence here is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying the Sudarshan. The Sudarshan does all these things. That's why I wanted to read. So you can get an understanding of how all-pervasive and how amazing is the Sudarshan chakra of the Lord. The demon Hiranyakashipu attacked Lord Varaha. The demon Hiranyaksha attacked Lord Varaha with such a great magical display of naked demonesses with tridents and loose hair and a host of ruffians uttering cruel, savage slogans. With your razor-sharp blades, you easily cut these illusions to pieces. Oh, Lord Nrisimhadev, my rascal mind produces many such magical illusions. And like a ruffian, my mind is shouting cruel slogans like, go ahead, you can enjoy. Forget about Krishna and your guru. Just be natural. Be yourself. This is the mind speaking. Please dispense these mystic illusions from my mind and fix my mind on your lotus feet. O Sudarshan, you cut the mouth of the crocodile to save the distressed Gajendra. My heart is being swallowed by the crocodile of duplicity. O Lord Nrisimhadev, please cut this enemy and make me your honest devotee. O Sudarshan, the Supreme Lord has set you in motion and you are wandering in all directions, traveling everywhere to protect the Lord's devotees. You are more destructive than the fire of devastation. O Lord Nrisimhadev, please cut down my six enemies, namely greed, anger, lust, envy, illusion, and madness, and burn them to ashes once and for all. O Sudarshan, you relentlessly chase the Vaishnava Aparadi Durvasa Muni all over the universe. Please accompany me wherever I may travel and immediately root out and chase away the demon of Vaishnava Aparad from my heart and mind. O Sudarshan, out of fear of you, Rahu cannot eclipse the moon for more than 48 minutes. O Lord Nisringadev, please prevent Rahu from even trying. Please prevent Rahu from even trying to eclipse the full moon of Lord Chaitanya's mercy rising within my heart. Because here, of course, is the story of Rahu. And Rahu, he was drinking the Amrit, the nectar of immortality. This is the Mohini Murti Leela. And then Mohini Murti threw the Sudarshan and cut his head off. So it's explained in Bhagavatam that when there's a full moon, Rahu gets very envious. Oh, I'm going to catch him. So every once in a while he attacks the full moon, Purnachandra, and he swallows it. But he only has a head. So it takes 48 minutes to go from his mouth to come out his neck. But it's explained in Bhagavatam that he lets the moon go out of fear of the Sudarshan chakra, because he remembers. He remembers because he has a head. He remembers how he lost his body. He was sitting there and all of a sudden the Sudarshan chakra came, choom, which his verse describes, and cut off his head. So when he's swallowing the moon, he's thinking, hey, I better hurry up and swallow. I better swallow fast. Otherwise that Sudarshan chakra is going to come again and maybe chop my head in half. So it's explained like that in the Bhagavatam. Out of fear of the Sudarshan chakra, he quickly swallows the sun and quickly swallows the moon. Only 48 minutes, one muhurta. Eclipse never lasts longer than that. That's the law. Because he's afraid of Sudarshan. He's looking this way. When he's eating the moon, he's looking around like a little bird. When birds eat, if you ever see birds eating, they're always going like this, out of bhayam. So Rahu is full of bhayam. Oh, where is that Sudarshan? O Sudarshan, you are the sweet, all-auspicious glance of Lord Nisringadev. Your vision pacifies, enlivens, inspires, and satisfies your devotees. Your effulgence is represented. The effulgence of the Sudarshan is represented by the processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam. I am a fool, O Lord Nisringadev. Please glance on me and make me fortunate. Purify my heart and fill me with the enthusiasm to serve your lotus feet. O Sudarshan Chakra, please cut down the Karma Chakra, the cycle of work, and destroy the Samsara Chakra. Liberate me, O Hari Chakra. Please bless me that I may always live in the circle of Vrindavan. That's also a chakra. Braj Mandala is also a chakra. O Hari Chakra, please bless me that I can always live within the circle of Vrindavan, Braj Mandala or Gaur Mandala. O Lord Nisringadev, I surrender to you. Please protect me and give me your mercy. So this is something about the Sudarshan Chakra. And this verse is explaining how by contacting the nectar, the head of Rahu became immortal by contacting that nectar. So the demigods in Swarga, every day they're drinking nectar. Every day they're drinking nectar so they can become immortal. But they're still afraid, even though they're drinking nectar so they can become immortal and deathless. Because nectar is amrita. And amrita means, mritu means death. And amrita means without death. So they're, although they're drinking this nectar to live forever, just like Rahu got this nectar, the demigods are actually always afraid of death. They're always afraid of death. And when the Agasura demon manifested in Vrindavan, the great serpent demon, Agasura, the demigods were very afraid. Although they're drinking the nectar of immortality every day, they were very afraid. Whoa. Look at this big demon, Agasura. What is he doing? He's so big. His mouth, when he opens his mouth, it comes all the way to Swarga. He may swallow the whole universe. He may swallow our planet and swallow us. But they didn't think, oh, we're drinking the nectar. We have nothing to fear. They're drinking every day, but they're very afraid. So they were telling Krishna, hey, Krishna, hurry up. Kill this demon. Dispose of this Agasura so we can be peaceful. So they were Ashanti. They were not peaceful. So there are many descriptions about this, but we hear that there's only one nectar. If you drink this nectar, you can truly become immortal. And that is the Namamrita, the nectar of the holy name. And by drinking the nectar of the holy name, you can actually attain immortality. And this is the explain that the devotees, by drinking this nectar, we become fearless. Lord Chaitanya gave us a prayer, Chaitodarvanam Bharjanam. He says, Pratipadam Purnamrita Swaranam. Pratipadam Swaranam. Pratipadam, step after step after step. We are ashwadanam. We are drinking pipata. Pipata ashwadanam. We are drinking the nectar of Harinam, the nectar of the holy name. And by drinking that nectar of the holy name, we are becoming fearless. That's why Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakti pranashyati. Arjuna, tell everyone. Listen, everyone. You can be free from all fear if you become my devotee. You don't have to fear anything. You will never perish. Rake Krishna Marake, Mare Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna protects you, if he's your Raki, if Krishna's your big brother, if he's protecting you, if you tie your heart around the wrist of Krishna, you want to tie something around the wrist of your brother, your Raki Bandar. You tie your heart around the wrist of Balaram. You know, they tie a little string around your brother's wrist called Raki Bandar or something. So if you tie your heart around the wrist of Lord Balaram, you will have all spiritual strength and be free from all fear. So this is the devotee. Declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. He has nothing to afraid. He becomes immortal by drinking the nectar of the holy name. So this is told that Krishna's heart, Raki, he's protecting us. So if Krishna's protecting us, no one can kill us. But if Krishna doesn't protect us, even if we're demigods, even if we're devatas drinking the nectar of immortality, we're drinking the Amrita, still we're afraid. Still we're afraid of death, as the Agasura Leela describes in Bhagavatam. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's very nice verses that describe something about the nectar of the holy name. And we want to read those because Srila Prabhupada, his words are very special. Because Srila Prabhupada explained that his purports are his bhakti swabhav. They're his devotional ecstasies. They're full of his bhav, swabhav. Bhakti Sumhav. They're his devotional ecstasies are contained in the purports. So one of the features of bhakti is Shraddha. Shraddha is like the sister of bhakti. If one has great, the development of bhakti is analogous or parallel to the development of Shraddha. As your faith develops, your bhakti develops. When you have complete, absolute, pure faith, that is known as prema. The fullest development of Shraddha becomes prema. Ado Shraddha Tata Saro Sangha Vajana Kriya. This is explained in Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami. Shraddha is the baby. And when the baby grows up, the full-grown Shraddha becomes prema. That is the full-grown Shraddha. The fruit of Shraddha. So Prabhupada's words in his purports are full of Shraddha, full of prema. So by hearing his words, we can increase our faith. That's why Prabhupada said, if your faith is less, if you're having trouble with your faith, then you should read Bhagavad Gita, and you should associate with devotees, because they are emanating Shraddha in their words, in their glance, in their presence. They are full of Shraddha, faith in Krishna. So in Adi Leela chapter 2, verse 2, there's a nice description. My merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarine Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers. In other words, in the waters of this river, of the topics of Lord Chaitanya, are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to ducks and swans and cranes that are swimming in that river of Chaitanya Leela Katha. These devotees are compared to ducks, swans, and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens the ears. So Prabhupada's purport very nicely comments. If the materialistic person, if they use their dry tongues, their tongues are dry because they're always talking about the dry topics of sense gratification, politics, sports, family, business. It's very dry, it's like desert-like topics, they're just dry like sand. If the materialists use their dry tongues to chant the holy names of the Lord, as exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, they would taste the sweet nectar and enjoy life. Actually, there's another verse in Adi Leela 4. One point we want to make, that as Rahu, he contacted this nectar from the Nectar Pada Mohini Murti, which we celebrate at Kumbh Mela, by bathing at a particular time in Nasik or Ujjain or Hardwar or Allahabad, because the nectar is falling. And if you catch that nectar in the Triveni at that time, it's considered that you will become immortal. But Lord Chaitanya has distributed the nectar of the holy name And there's one verse to describe, Rupa Goswami describes what a sweet experience it is to actually taste the nectar of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya, as I mentioned, step after step, we are meant to taste that. Purna Amrita, Purna Amritam, Pratipadam, Purna Amritam, Swadhanam. And life becomes very joyful if we're actually experiencing the holy name. So in Atya Lila, Rupa Goswami's famous verse is contained there, where he describes the nectar of the holy name. This is Atya Lila chapter 1, verse 120. Tunde tandavini raktim vitanute tandavali labdaye karna krodha kadambini gatayate karnar budhebhya spriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kirtim no jane janita kiyari vir amrite krishne tivarn varne dvayi. He explains, this is a famous verse everyone's heard, Rupa Goswami glorifies the chanting of the holy name. I do not know how much nectar there are in the two syllables, Krishna. They produce so much nectar that when the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. In other words, one enters a trance of meditation on the form and name and leelas of the form and leelas within the holy name. A trance of meditation. So this holy name is our nectar. And by drinking nectar, we become immortal. So this is actually also scientifically explained in the Bhagavatam, that the mystic yogis, they develop a type of siddhi. There's ashta siddhis. There's eight siddhis. One of them is called Kamarup. Kamarup means that by their desire, they can obtain any form they want. One should not think that Agasura demon, or Ristasura demon, or all these Bakasura demon, that these are actually the forms of those jivas. Those jivas are actually yogis, have human form, those particular demons. They have human form and they may be very handsome and very beautiful. But they adopt by their kamarup, by this siddhi of kamarup, by their desire, they can change their form and become a bird, become a keshi, become a horse, become a duck, become anything they want. So this is by their desire. So it's explained that as we drink the nectar of the holy name, we are actually developing an immortal body. The more we drink the nectar of the holy name, the more we develop an immortal body. Just like Rahu got it, his head became immortal because he drank the nectar. So we are drinking the nectar of the holy name that Rupa Goswami describes so beautifully in the shloka. And by drinking that nectar of the holy name, we are developing. And just as Krishna used his Sudarshan Chakra to cut, he severed the head, which was eternal, from the temporary material rest of the body of Rahu. In the same way, when we develop our full spiritual body, over time in practice, the time factor, the Sudarshan Chakra will sever this material body, will cut this material body and free the pure Sarup, our pure spiritual body, which is immortal, will cut off this material tabernacle and go back to the spiritual world in our Sarup, spiritual body. Perfect Sarup, that's called Sarup Siddhi, the stage of perfection. So we are drinking a type of nectar, this Harinam Amrit. This nectar of the holy name is such a wonderful nectar that we're drinking it every day. And by drinking that every day, we're first of all becoming fearless. Not like the demigods. The demigods are also drinking Amrita every day to maintain their long lives and health and bodily strength and effulgence and beauty. But they're very much afraid, as we explained. But we are drinking the nectar of the holy name to some extent, maybe 5 cc's, maybe 1 liter, maybe an ocean. We don't know. We're drinking different amounts of nectar of the holy name. And by drinking that nectar of the holy name, we are becoming fearless. We're not afraid of death. If we die today, we take another body. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashtri Jayate. We take the body in the family of devotees because we're practicing bhakti. Basically, our life is dedicated in that way. So if we die in the service of Krishna, we take another body and continue the service of Krishna and continue drinking the nectar. We don't stop. Death is only a momentary pause. It is a momentary pause between bodies. It is like catching your breath. You hold your breath, you're in this body, you hold your breath, and then you close your eyes, and when you open your eyes, you're in a new body. Death is only a temporary pause and you get a new body. So you're serving Krishna now and drinking the nectar, and that nectar is producing this, is revealing and producing the spiritual body within us. But the first symptom is we're not afraid of death. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that. Neha bikramo nashosti pratyavayo navidyate swapam panya vrta rajan mato vayate chayate vayat. It says that swapam punya, a little bit of dharma. Swapam punya, neha bikramo nashosti. If you are performing a little bit of bhakti, you'll become free. Mahato bhayat. Bhayat means fear. You just perform a little bit of bhakti, which means you drink a little bit of the nectar of the holy name, and you'll become free from the biggest fear, mahabhayam. What is the biggest fear? Mrityu. Mrityu is the biggest fear. Mrityu means death. So if you're drinking the amrit, nama amrit, then you become free from mrit. Mrityu means death. But if you're drinking nam amrit, you become free from the fear of death. Because death is mrityu. And deathlessness or immortality is amrityu. So the Harinam is the nectar, is the medicine and the cure for death. So we're not afraid of death. And the biggest fear is to die or to take some other body, animal's body or lower birth. But that is not going to happen for the devotee. Not only that, the devotees won't even see Yamaraj. He's explained in Bhagavatam in 6th canto, I believe it's 6th canto, that the devotee does not even see Yamaraj, not even in his dreams. Because Yamaraj has different avashas, he has different expansions, and sometimes he appears in a dream to remind that living entity where you're going. This is where you're going, Baba. So he comes, he's also a devotee, he's a Mahajan. Swayambhu Narado Shambhu, Kumaro Kapilomanu. The verse itself, the verse in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, which describes the 12 Mahajans, is spoken by Yamaraj. He speaks the verse and says, Shambhu is a Mahajan, Janaka Maharaj is a Mahajan, Prahlad is a Mahajan, so many Mahajans, Brahma is a Mahajan. So Yamaraj, he's speaking that verse. So he sometimes, because he's a Mahajan, he's a devotee, he's a preacher, he's merciful, he's compassionate. And he cares for the conditioned souls. So sometimes he expands into your brain. Because it's explained that Yamaraj's intelligence is so vast. His intelligence is so vast and so deep that he knows the movements and he knows the activities of every single jiva in the whole universe. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. So that Yamaraj is always watching everyone. And he's recording. He has many secretaries, hundreds and thousands of PSs. Thousands and millions of personal secretaries with millions of ledger books. If you think Indian treasuries are a joke, if you think Indian post offices, Indian treasuries are a joke when you see these thousands and thousands of dusty, rat-eaten record books stacked against the walls, these millions of years of record books stacked everywhere, so many purchases. So you can imagine how many millions of books that Chitragupta and all the servants and secretaries of Yamaraj have, keeping track of all the Papajanis. But Yamaraj knows everything you're doing. So he's actually in the mind, in one of his avashas, he's expanded within the mind of every jiva to watch everything you're doing. Right? So, Krishnadas, you've taken the Sankirtan money and you've gone with the prostitute. Oh, very nice. Nice, nice show. And he notes it down. So Yamaraj is seeing everything. So out of his mercy, because he's a Mahajan, he enters the mind as a nightmare. He enters the mind sometimes. You have this horrible dream and see these ghostly ghouls and all these weird creatures in your mind. Some people have. That is Yamaraj reminding you, hey Baba, this is where you're coming. You're coming to this end because you're a sinful person and you're neglecting Dharma. You're not following the codes of religion. You're going against God and you're going to end up in this particular hellish planet and you're going to meet someone like this. So this is his mercy. So this is not going to be seen by the devotee. The devotee will not see Yamaraj in his dreams. No visits, no private visits. And he will not see him at the time of death. So this Bhagavatam verse in 11th canto in chapter 15 very nicely explains how this anima, this city of the yogis, how they take another body. And 11th canto, chapter 15, text 22. It's describing about the mystic perfections of the yogis. Yadamana upadhaya yad yad rupam ubushati tat tad bhavain mano rupam madhyoga balamashraya. So it's explained here, mano rupam, that by performing mystic yogi, they have a particular form in their mind and they attain that form. Here's the translation. 11, 15, 22. When a yogi applying his mind in a certain way desires to assume a particular form, that very form immediately appears. Such perfection is possible by absorbing the mind in the shelter of my inconceivable mystic potency. Krishna speaking here. It's Uddhava Gita. Such perfection. What perfection? This perfection called Kamarupa. To just think of some form and catch that. Such perfection is possible by absorbing the mind in the shelter of my inconceivable mystic potency, by which I assume innumerable forms. So applying the principle of this verse, which is mentioned in the purport, the devotee performs bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti and raganuga sadhana bhakti. And one of the limbs of raganuga sadhana bhakti is called meditation, smaran. And in smaran, or meditation, the devotee, he meditates on the body that he wants to have for serving Krishna. He doesn't want this thinking male's body or woman's body. He wants a spiritual body, chit deha, or siddha deha, or his sarup. And he thinks of that. And by thinking of that form, and as Krishna says, the yogis, they think of a particular form that they want in their mind. They think of a form of a big horse, or a big snake, or an agasura, or a big bird. They think of that form. Yes, I want to be a big horse and go to Vrindavan and kill Krishna. Boom! Magic, like in the fairy tales with the little witch with her magic wand. She takes her magic wand, boom, and turns someone into a dog or whatever. So just by thinking immediately with a snap of a finger, they get that big Keshi demon, Keshi Asura, and they run into Vrindavan and try to kill Krishna. So they think of this, but not alone, not by their power alone, but as it says, by Ashraya. It says, the verse explains, how do they get that reciprocation? How do they attain that body? Not independently by their mystic cities, but madhyoga bhalamashraya. Krishna is yatra yogeshvara Krishna tatrashir vajayobhatir. Krishna is a yogeshvara. He is a yogeshvara. He is a powerful master of all yogic cities. And he gives any power. So it says that madhyoga bhalam ashraya. They take shelter of Krishna's bala, of Krishna's yogic strength. It says in the verse, by my inconceivable mystic potency, they take shelter. By taking shelter, so we're doing the same thing, ashraya. We are, what is our ashraya? We are not taking shelter of Krishna's mystic potency, his yoga, bala yoga, as explained here. We are taking shelter of what? What are we taking shelter of? In the 14 worlds, there's no other shelter but Namashraya. We are taking shelter of the holy name. And there's no more greater power than Krishna's holy name, because Krishna's holy name is Krishna. It is the Yogeshwara himself, personified. So the yogi, by taking shelter of Krishna's mystic power, of his, as explains here, his madhyoga bhalam, madhyoga bhalam ashraya, they take shelter of Krishna's powerful yogic cities, and then they get blessed by Krishna. So we take shelter of Krishna's nam. And in our mind, as I mentioned before, we meditate on a particular spiritual form that we desire to serve the Lord. And that, of course, comes when one advances in devotional service and is blessed by a spiritual master. Then this inclination and this desire arises as a fruit of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, the yogis, they fix a form in their mind, they take shelter of Krishna's mystic power, and boom, they get it. So we are also yogis. Are you a yogi? Are you a yogi? We're also yogis. As Krishna says, yogi namapi sarvesham, madgetanai taratma. Of all the yogis, the bhakti yogi is the greatest. So we're also yogis. So we also meditate. And in our minds, we meditate on the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna. And we meditate on the spiritual form we wish to attain. And then we also take shelter like the yogis. We can't get it by ourselves. We can't attain our spiritual swarup city by ourselves. But we can attain it by namashraya. What is Namashraya? What does it mean to take shelter in the holy name? It means to drink the nectar of the holy name day after day after day. And if we drink the nectar of the holy name day after day after day, then that holy name will produce, that nectarine amrita of the holy name will produce a deathless, immortal, Swarup Siddhi spiritual body within ourselves. And then the time factor, which is also the Sudarshan Chakra, at the right moment, it will cut, it will sever our material body, our temporary mortal coil will be severed or cut off, and we'll go back to God in our pure spiritual body. That is spiritual perfection, and that is what's discussed in this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam is so glorious, so beautiful. Prabhupada is giving everything. We read just a few quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam, and we can understand something. How Rahu is giving us a great teaching. Rahu is our teacher. He's not a demon, he's teaching us. What a nice teaching Rahu has given us in this verse. We want to drink the nectar of the Sudarshan of the Lord's beautiful lotus face. This is also Sudarshan, the auspicious darshan of Krishna's face. To see that face cuts the root of material desires. This is also Sudarshan. When you take the darshan of Krishna, that Sudarshan comes as a beautiful loving glance. And it's a very, for the devotee, also Sudarshan works on the devotee. So his beautiful glance, we don't want that Sudarshan, you know, when it comes through those gates, maybe it gets deflected. Like when you're shooting something and shooting a bullet, if it hits something, it gets deflected and it misses the target. We want Krishna's glance to shine directly on us. No obstacles, no impediments, no walls, no chain link fences. Krishna, look straight at me. Purify me with your Sudarshan. Remove the darkness of lust. Remove the darkness of ignorance and envy and greed. Shine brilliantly and beautifully on my dark heart. You're beautiful, brilliant Sudarshan. So the question is asked that if we're chanting with Aparad Nam, then rather than producing an immortal spiritual body, we're actually producing another kind of body, a very nice body. Because the name is a Chintamani. It's a Chintamani. We say, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purna Shudo Nitya Mukto Vinatvan Namanamano. So there's two things. There's Sparshamani and there's Chintamani. There's a Chintamani gem and there's a Sparshamani stone. And they're different. So the name is called Chintamani. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Because Chintamani means mind gem. Mind gem means a Chintamani can give you whatever you want, but a Sparshamani can only give one thing. A Sparshamani is called a touchstone. You take that stone or philosopher's stone and you touch that to anything and you get one thing only. You get gold. A touchstone, a Sparshamani produces gold. But a Chintamani produces anything and everything and whatever you want. And that is what the ground is made of Vrindavan, is made of Chintamani gems. And the houses are made of Chintamani gems. Anything you want at any time, you want fruits, you want gold, you want anything you want. So that's Chintamani. So the name, the holy name of Krishna is also Chintamani. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So, do you want Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha? Do you want a Vigraha? Do you want a form by which you can relish Chaitanya Rasa? The Gaur Rasa, or the Sankirtan Rasa, Prem Rasa, Nam Sankirtan? Or do you want a vigraha or a form by which you can indriya priti, you become dear to sense gratification, and you can just chew the chewed, punak punash charvata charvananam, just chew the objects of this material world over and over again. So the name gives both. When you chant Hare Krishna with aparads, you get a beautiful body, a beautiful material body made of stool and urine and pus and everything nice. And with that beautiful stool body, you can chew the stool of this material world and be happy. You can chant Hare Krishna, and you'll get what you want, because it fulfills desires. So when you chant with aparad, you get another material body. And you get bhukti. Bhukti means eat the stool. That's bhukti. It means sense gratification. So if you chant with aparads, it means you want to be swavidvraha. Swavidvraha. This pig, he swavid, he eats stool. But that's what it means. If you're a Namaparadi, it means you want to get another material body, stay in the material world, you don't want to drink the nectar, you don't want a spiritual body, you don't want to relish Chaitanya Ras. How unfortunate. So at all costs, with all sincerity and with all determination, we must try to avoid the aparads. If we absorb ourselves in properly chanting, if we're only thinking about the proper mood of chanting, and the proper environment for chanting, the proper setting for chanting, the proper meditation for chanting, the proper conception of chanting, we don't have any time to worry about aparads. We don't have any time to make aparads. We're too absorbed, we're too busy chanting correctly to chant incorrectly. So accent the positive and the negative is gone. You don't sit around and say, oh, I don't have any money. I don't have any food. I don't have any clothes. I need to get some money. I have to get some money. Don't waste all your time worrying and lamenting about your impoverished condition. Just take all that energy and an energy of ignorance and lamentation and go out and work. Just go out and be active. I have to get a job. I get a job and I work. And after 1 week, you have 1,000 rupees and then all your problems are gone. So don't worry about this aparad and that aparad. We're conscious of the aparads and we should avoid them. At the same time, we should become more conscious of Krishna in His holy name. And more conscious of what is the meaning of the holy name. When I'm chanting Hare Krishna, do I mean Balaram? Do I mean Ram? Do I mean Parasaram? Who am I calling? Who am I praying to? All the gods. When I chant Hare Krishna, I mean all the gods. Shiva, Ganesh, Ganapati, Ram, everybody. Who is your Ishtadev in that holy name? Because mantra means Ishtadev. Every mantra has an Ishtadev. Every mantra has a chanda and a vinayoga and an Ishtadev. There's four factors of every mantra. The rishi who attained perfection in that mantra. Then there's the chanda, the poetic meter. And then there's the Ishtadev of that mantra. That's all described. So who is the Ishtadev of the Maha Mantra? This is Yuga Mantra. The Ishtadev is Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada gave us that from day one. There's only two personalities in the Maha Mantra, Radha and Krishna. From day one, everyone gets the same instruction, which we say all the time, over and over again in Delhi. Prabhupada gave us the conception. He gave us, who is the Ishtadev of the Maha Mantra? If someone asks you, who is the Ishtadev of the Maha Mantra? Parasaram? Balaram? You know, Ram means Balaram? You know, Ramachandra? Prabhupada didn't say that. He said, when you chant Hare Krishna, you should think, O Srimati Radharani, O Mother Hara, O energy of the Lord, O Ladani Shakti, O pleasure-giving potency of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, please, I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, I cry out to you, please engage me in the service of Shyam, Krishna. Bas. No second meaning. I've never seen anywhere in any book, I never heard in any tape where Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, this is the meaning you should think. Anyone can show me, I'd be very interested to see. Where Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, this is what you should meditate on, this is what you should think. You'll not find. So, therefore, we should worry about these things, the proper conception when chanting, am I chanting properly? What is the best way to chant? Walking all around the neighborhood, seeing every skyscraper, every sign, every... No, we should try to come to the platform of chanting the proper way. And if we can't, we have to adjust. Oh, and I know I should sit in front of Tulsi. I know I should sit very straight and chant in front of Tulsi. But when I sit down, Maharaj, you know what happens? Just like, you know, when I sit in front of you in Bhagavatam class. The same thing happens. It's a funny thing. When I sit down in front of you in Bhagavatam class, I fall asleep. So I can understand. If you fall asleep when we're giving class, then you must really sleep when some other devotees are giving class. you must snore. You sleep in not my class, but in other classes you must start snoring. So we fall asleep when we sit down in front of Tulsi to chant. So we miss all that mercy. We miss all that purification. We miss all the realization. Who is Bhakti Devi? Bhakti Devi is Radharani. She's coming before us to hold her hand and help us chant properly and give us unlimited mercy. But we say, no, look, Radharani, you stay here in the temple, I'm going for a japa walk. You stay in the temple, I'm going to walk. I'm going to take darshan of the buildings. I'm going to associate with the cars and the motorcycles. And maybe, if I'm lucky, I might see, you know, I might see one of those pretty girls. You know, when I'm walking around in my so-called japa walk, I go, oh, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. So then we should say, why am I falling asleep? Because I'm tired. Okay, sleep more. Sleep an extra hour at night. It's not a sin to sleep 7 hours. There's no shastra where it says it's a sin to sleep another hour. I know sannyasis and gurus in this movement that have to sleep 8 hours. But when they wake up, they're awake. They are awake. They don't sleep half the day and wait. They sleep 8 hours and then they're like a rocket ship. From the time they wake up, classes and books and, you know, 500 comm messages and, you know, whatever they have to do, they do. Traveling everywhere, preaching, meeting disciples, and pondal this, that, everything. But they sleep 8 hours. And you say, oh, he's in Maya. He sleeps 8 hours. You're a big yogi. You only sleep 4 hours in the sleeping bag. And then 1 hour in class, and 1 hour here, and 2 hours in the japa, and 1 hour here, 1 hour there. Oh, big yogi. Only 4 hours in the sleeping bag at night. And then 8 hours during the day. You know, when no one's around, you're the temple commander, you're supposed to be awake, right? And you go in the closet, find the brooms. Oh, yeah, I'm a temple commander, we're looking for a broom. You go in the closet and sleep for 2 hours. So it ends up 12 hours a day you sleep and do like that service for an hour or two. So take whatever you need, but the most important, life-giving, vital thing that we have to do is chant proper japa. That is everything. This is verse that we get our spiritual body by chanting japa. We see the spiritual world by chanting japa. We have darshan of Radharani by chanting japa. You realize the spiritual form of your guru by chanting japa. 365 days a year, that's our japa. So develop, become a yogi. At least sit down. If you can't sit on the floor because your knees hurt or your whatever, sit on a chair in front of Tulsi. I think everyone can sit in a chair. Sit in a chair in front of Tulsi. Don't run all around the neighborhood. It's not the time for exercise. It's a time for surrender. It's a time for crying. It's a time for submission. It's a time for sharanagati. It's a time for meditation. It's not time for your japa walk. At least do 16 rounds in front of Tulsi. Then you can do 100 rounds in japa walk and whatever you want to do else outside. We're killing ourselves by improper performance of bhakti. We're killing ourselves. This is suicide. So everyone's developing a very nice material body by chanting Hare Krishna. But we don't want a material body. We're finished with that. We want a pure spiritual body to serve Radha and Krishna in the land of Vrindavan. But we'll never ever get there unless we glorify Krishna proper. This is called proper execution of bhakti. The right way and the wrong way.